About anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God, in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Verses 18 to 25, Matthew chapter 1. Then looking in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And then finally, Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Verses 16 through 20, Matthew chapter 28. Lord, thank you for the truth that you truly are the greatest gift the world has ever received in any and all capacities. Thank you for being our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, our Savior, and so, so much more. Thank you for being our mighty God, our El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you, Lord, for being the wonderful and the blessed gift that you are. And thank you for the privilege that you've given us. You've saved us. You've made us a part of your family. And you've set us on fire with a passion to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Lord, help us to grow this Christmas season in our understanding of what it means to be a disciple and to be a disciple maker. And set us on fire with a new passion and a commitment to be about doing that faithfully as you've called us to. And Lord, during this Christmas season and beyond, help us to be very serious about carrying out the work you've clearly called us to do, and help us to walk in the excitement and the joy that was experienced by so many at your birth when the world saw that you, our Savior, had come into the world and brought your salvation, your grace, your mercy with you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, how awesome it is that through the Holy Spirit, you brought Jesus. You had him be birthed through Mary so that he could come, live, train up disciples, and die on the cross for our sins. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I pray that in the same way that Jesus walked fully in the Holy Spirit and was birthed through the Holy Spirit, that you would bring life through us, that we could walk in oneness with your Holy Spirit in your ways to follow after the way you've trained us to. Thank you so much. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As we often do, keep in mind, one of our goals is to help you to become a vibrant prayer warrior in the kingdom of God and a faithful disciple. And part of the way we seek to do that is we share discipleship articles that we hope will encourage you in your individual walk with the Lord, articles you can email us to get copies of for you to use in the discipling of your family, but also articles you can forward and share with fellow church members or family, friends, saved or unsaved individuals as well. But our goal is to help equip you to be better equipped disciples of the Lord. I want to take time now to share one of those articles from the AFA stand that we wrote. This one is entitled, of course, it relates to the Christmas story, but of course, the message, the fact that Jesus came as the Savior of the world and the answer to everything. The title of the article, Jesus, the Answer to Everything. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Again, Matthew 1, 21. Then Matthew 1, 23. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Again, Luke chapter 2, verse 11. As we read the joy and grace-filled stories of Christmas found in Matthew 1 and 2, and Luke chapters 1 and 2, one truth is clear. Some of the key people in this blessed story are overjoyed to come and find the babe, Christ our King. They're excited, full of joy, and filled with wonder and awe because they've had the great privilege to see the Messiah. Christ, the answer to all of the world's problems, has come into the world bringing salvation, peace, and goodwill. In Genesis chapter 3, the sin problem entered into the world, bringing with it a host of other problems and issues. When Christ came to the world, he came as the answer to all of those problems. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God loved us so much that he was willing to give the best that he had, his Son Jesus Christ, to come, live in this world, and die on the cross in order to make a way for us to be saved. And he did just that. The truth is, all of us as human beings have a longing in our hearts to know and have a relationship with Christ. We just often fully don't realize it. The story is told of a man who, when drafted into the army when the draft was on years ago, picked up the very strange habit. He would walk around inside and outside the barracks, and every time he'd see a piece of paper, he'd pick it up, read, unravel it, and read it out loud, and he'd say, that's not it. That's just not it. After a few weeks of hearing about this soldier's strange habit, the company commander called him into his office and said, Private, what's your problem? The young soldier responded, sir, I don't have a problem. The commander then asked, well, what is it that you're looking for when you're looking at all these pieces of paper and reading them? Well, sir, you know, I don't know what I'm looking for, but every time I find and read the pieces of paper I come across, I realize it's not what I'm looking for. The company commander questions him a little further and then dismisses him. The young private continues his strange habit for a few more weeks, and finally, the commander had had enough. He called the strange young soldier into his office. He then told him, "Soldier, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to let you go. The army can't afford to keep soldiers like you. If we had an army full of soldiers like you, we'd have a messed up army. We're just going to have to let you go." The commander pulled out of his drawer some papers that said discharge across the top, signed them, and handed them to the young man. The soldier took one look at the papers and then yelled at the top of his lungs, "That's it! That's it!" The moment he read the papers that said he could get out of the army, he realized that's what he was looking for all the time. Again, many people in the world we live in are looking for something, and most of them don't even know what they're looking for. They're looking for meaning and fulfillment and just can't seem to find either one. Many look for them in all kinds of wrong relationships. Some look for them through the end of a bottle or through a needle. Some look for fulfillment in thrills and excitement from things they pay to do or see. But time and time again, when these individuals make the step into their lives, receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, and are born again, something inside of them cries out with all of its might, "That's it! That's it! Jesus Christ is what I've been looking for all the time." If you find yourself searching for meaning, fulfillment, purpose, and direction in your life, and you've looked and looked and just not found what you're looking for, then look no further. Jesus Christ is the answer. He's really the answer to everything. Would you take the step in your life to receive him as Lord and Savior of your life today? If so, I would invite you to simply, from your heart, pray this prayer with us right now. Would you take that step and pray this with us now? Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I confess that I've sinned, and I now repent of all the wrong things I've ever done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things I've done. I do believe that you came into this world a long time ago. I believe that you lived and that you died on the cross to pay for all my sins. I believe that 3 days later you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to die for me. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all the wrongs I've ever done. And Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. Make me the person you want me to be. In the Bible, you said that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live a life following you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you just made that very important step of praying that prayer and giving your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. I want to remind you, my email is joseph@afr.net, and that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that'll help you to grow in your new walk with the Lord. So let us know. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Again, the title of that article, Jesus, the Answer to Everything. And, of course, this article is, in fact, an evangelism and discipleship tool. So please email us to get a copy, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege, the wonderful privilege and opportunity you give us during the Christmas season and beyond, and really all year long, to be effective, faithful witnesses and evangelists in your hand. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to tell the world the good news that Jesus Christ can save them and make them brand new. Lord, set all of us on fire afresh with a new passion and a longing to be used of you every day of our lives to help others come to know Christ, and set us on fire with a passion to be about the work of discipleship, encouraging others to grow in their new walk with the Lord, helping and encouraging others in their time and study of your word, encouraging them in their prayer life, and encouraging them in their simply living a life where they're following you each and every day. Thank you for the privilege and the honor of being involved in this wonderful work. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back. Thank you. music of Forever Jones with Gloria. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're very blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today, Rodney Brim. He's a faithful servant of the Lord that actually wears many hats in the ways he serves the Lord, but we're honored to have him on with us for the first time. Rodney, how are you today?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing great, thanks.
Honored to have you on. And I'm going to ask, Rodney, if you'll take a few moments to further introduce yourself to our listeners, and then we want to dive right in and talk about some things that are on your heart today.
Sounds good. Well, I accepted the Lord when I was a little kid, probably 6 or 7, as close as I can remember. And so I've known the Lord for almost 70 years and been a psychologist for roughly 50 of those years. Worked here in the U.S. and then for probably about 20, 25 years, worked around the world with organizations. So have collected quite a few adventures along the way. And I'm looking forward to talking with you and to your listeners today.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being with us today. And amongst other things, if I'm correct, you're a consultant along with many other things, as well as a very gifted musician, too. So we might get to talk about that on another broadcast. But grateful to have you on with us today. Wanted to ask, Rodney, if you'll share with us, you know, some you've shared with us in the past about just a passion that you have to support the work of church planting, especially in unreached areas of the world. Some people don't realize that there are certain areas of the world where people have never heard the gospel. And though we here in the West in so many ways have heard it in more or less many, many times over, but there are many areas that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And so would you share with our listeners your thoughts and just your passion about why it's important, why it's important to you to be involved with supporting the work of church planting in unreached areas?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. It's probably different than one might expect. I was actually attracted to that partly just I've worked in the Gulf. I've worked in Asia and worked in Europe as well. But what struck me, I think what pulled me the most was the fact of seeing what the Lord was doing in other areas of the world. And the fact that Lord was showing up in people's dreams, he was showing up in person as he reached out to Muslims around the world, particularly as I'm thinking about some of the experiences that initially drew me. I think when I first started thinking about it or sort of becoming more acquainted with what was happening, Iran at the time was the fastest growing Christian community in the world, in a country. Mm-hmm. It really struck me here in America, Christianity is slowly sort of, the church attends, all that is falling. And here, other areas of the world are on fire and God showing up in a very personal and direct way. And so that really pulled me. I there was a part of me that said, hey, if God's doing something exciting over there, I want to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you take a moment now, Rodney, specifically to pray for listeners that they would have ears to hear what the Lord wants to share in them? Because I believe we live in a culture where for many people, they have a need to be set on fire afresh with a passion to be involved personally with the spread of the gospel, but also supporting the work of ministries and missions that are carrying the gospel, especially to areas that have never heard it. Would you pray for our listeners in that way?
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring our heart to you and ask for the heart for people listening this morning, that you would enlarge their heart just for one, that they want the vibrancy and intensity of having that connection with you, living that out each day of their lives. And also just openness to their heart for people around the world that are their fellow brothers and sisters and that are in difficult situations and need their prayers and sharing of their resources. And you would just enlarge the lives of people listening today as they lean on you and depend on you each step of the way. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, in listening to what you shared too, Rodney, I think of this, that we hear in our day and time, sometimes people talk about the 1040 window, which is considered a rectangular region in the world map that stretches from 10 degrees to 40 degrees north latitude, covering North Africa, the Middle East, and most of Asia up to Japan. And it's an area where, again, so that in particular is an area where so many unreached people groups are there. And so the fact is, if we genuinely love the Lord Jesus Christ, that should be on our heart. It should be our concern to want to see the gospel spread then. So do appreciate you sharing your thoughts there. You know, I just want to mention this, that, you know, during the Christmas season, we see the world, even the secular world, often more or less pointing to Jesus, pointing to Christ, which is a good thing. Because, again, Christmas is all about Jesus, to be very clear. Yet the fact is, it's so important for us to understand that Christmas is really about evangelism. It's about discipleship. And even when you see the people that are most excited about the coming of Christ, the key is, I'm thinking in particular of Simeon. Simeon, he and Anna, both of them recognize this is our Savior. And that's something that as believers, that should be on our hearts to them. But would you share your thoughts about that?
You know, it's such a good time, as you were just pointing out, we think of celebrating Christ's birth, but it's another invitation to draw closer to the Lord and let your light shine and let Him use your time and your resources and the gifts He's given you to reach out to people. And it's a more convenient time to talk about Jesus. So it's sort of in our culture, it's almost semi-okay to talk about Jesus, and that's a great opportunity to share with people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, tell me this, Rodney. If someone was to say to you, "Well, Rodney, I'm concerned about the spread of the gospel, but my main concern is for my own community because I see lots of unsaved people. So I really don't have much of an interest in about other countries because I see so many unsaved people in my own community." How would you respond to such a statement?
So the doorway in for that for me, and it's probably like many of your listeners who might say that same sort of stuff, was actually more initially empathy for other believers that were in really difficult straits in other countries. And it's like, boy, how do I go to sleep at night when people I know in Nigeria don't know if they're going to be attacked in the morning? And it's the sense that we have safety, or I have a full meal, but people in Sudan are starving. So there's just a sense of awareness as you get more aware of what's going on around the world, and brothers and sisters in Christ are in such dire circumstances and are at such risk that it's like whatever the Lord was going to allow me to do, I wanted to be available to organizations that are helping in those areas. And that's what initially was the pull for me and still is today.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess I would say along with that, I think it's so important for us to know as individual believers that God, when we're really willing to seek His heart, the Lord will help open up our eyes and our understanding and our ears to know what priorities He's going to give us individually as well as collectively. For example, we can support the spread of the gospel in our own community and support missions in all kinds of all other places in the world too. In that, I think of this, that in our nation, even people that would be considered low income make more money than people in many other parts of the world. And so when we think in terms of living a sacrificial life, that's something clearly the Lord has called all of us to. You know, sometimes, sadly, in our Christianity, often we find ourselves, whether we're willing to admit it or not, pursuing being comfortable. But to follow Jesus, we are going to be stretched. We're going to be challenged and often pulled out of our comfort zone, as well as being willing to be sacrificial in the way we serve the Lord, the way we give of our finances and our time and our energy as well. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I'd like to build on that. So for your listeners, as you're hearing Joseph talk about living a sacrificial life, what strikes me very much is the Lord wants us to live an engaged life. Being engaged is kind of the opposite of comfort. It's comfort for me feels like being in neutral, and it's like, oh, let's put it in gear and go somewhere. Excuse me. So the sense of being engaged is then a responsiveness to people in your community, as Joseph was just saying, but it's also a responsiveness to the need to hear the gospel in other areas of the world, and a responsiveness to be a resource for people that, if nothing else, would love to hear you, that or you're praying for them. And around the world, there's opportunities, and it's just a responsiveness to opportunities that God puts in front of you.
Mm-hmm. You know, something that comes to my mind that you often, it's very common to find this, that many believers share how that when they go for the first time in their life on a mission trip, that it changes their life. And to your point, often it's the first time they were engaged themselves in any form of mission in another community outside of their own. And it opens mm-hmm. their eyes, opens their heart, and opens their understanding to a whole different world from many times what they were used to. So,
yeah, isn't that true? And just being outside the country just makes you aware that it changes your perspective on the world and life, and seeing what God's doing in different places around the globe makes you not so U.S.-centric.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, you referred to, for example, some of the tragedies that are happening in so many other nations. And in particular, you mentioned like Nigeria. Lots of believers, it seems daily, you hear about Christians dying for their faith. And by and large, that's very foreign to our community, to our communities here in the United States. And it's important to understand that, yes, as believers, we should be willing if the need arises to die for our faith. Yet it's one thing to hear about it happening to someone on the other side of the world. It's another thing to find out your next door neighbor or even your family member died for standing for their faith. And yet we know that it's more than worth it because Jesus is our great example. He gave himself completely to make a way for us to be saved. And so he's our great example. He was, and he continues to be our great example today as well. So what words of encouragement, Rodney, would you give to the church about being engaged in the work of the kingdom in order to become both more effective and more relevant to the work of the kingdom of God?
Probably you're going to grin when I say this, but to be engaged, first off, you need to sort of unleash the sense of the stress with the day-to-day stuff that goes on. We're all busy and life is busy and preoccupied and there's requirements and appointments and everything else. And I every day, it's like one of the things I reframe life with is Psalms 23, "One Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Except Rodney Brim's version of that is, "I shall not stress." So want is a form of stress, but it's like, I'm not going to stress. The Lord is my shepherd. He's leading the way. And that creates a certain sense of, I don't know, rolling stuff off my shoulders. And okay, Lord, what would you like me to do today? And within that perspective, there's a sense of drawing close and staying in conversation with the Lord throughout the day. And every person I talk with saying to him, okay, what do you want me to say to this person? Or every experience that we're having as we go through life, what do you want me to do here? What do you want me to see here? What do you want me to learn here? Say, Philippians 4 talks about it so much, but it's a sense of constantly checking in and making requests. And the request is, help me be your hands and feet. See what you want me to see. Respond like you'd like me to respond.
You know, it brings to my mind just the reality of what the people were dealing with when Jesus was born. You know, we find in Luke chapter 2, it speaks of how that when Jesus, the Messiah, the greatest king that ever walked the earth, when he arrived into the world, though the nation, the Jewish nation, had been looking for the Messiah for centuries, it's like, sadly, it looks like so many people were just doing what they normally would do, living life. When he arrived in Bethlehem, there was not even any room for him to be born in a normal place, obviously an inn or hotel or much less a hospital of sorts, but he's literally born in a barn. The world didn't make room for him. And so to your point, it's so important for us to make it our business to stay intimate with the Lord, to walk with him in the Word of God every day, listening and spending time with God in prayer every day, and just seeking to always be about God's business, whatever that might be. So, again, appreciate you sharing about that, too. Well, we're coming up on a break, Rodney, so we'll pick up on the other side again. But I want to say to all of our listeners, one of the ways that we, during the Christmas season, you can be about the Lord's business very clearly insofar as in the midst of the things we do for Christmas. Pray over every gift you give away. Ask God to guide you in selecting gifts because sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you a gift that will somehow or another point someone to Him. So pray over the gifts, but also place gospel tracts in gifts as well. That's a wise thing to do, a tract that shares how to be saved, or maybe a tract that tells believers how to grow in their faith, or telling them why being in the Word is important, but tracts that will encourage them in their walk with the Lord. But many things we can do to point people to Christ. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Rodney Brim, a faithful servant of the Lord. We'll be right back. Music from Hillsong with Hallelujah. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Rodney Brim. He's a faithful servant of the Lord, serving the Lord with many different hats, and we're grateful to have him on the broadcast today. Rodney, something I think of before we get back specifically in some of the things that you wanted to share is the story of the wise men in Matthew chapter 2 is a powerful story, just the first 12 verses approximately. They say it's a short passage and we never hear from the wise men again per se. But there's so much that we find there because these were persons who were not Jewish themselves but came looking to worship the King of the Jews, very much engaged with the Lord, listening to the Lord, communing with the Lord, and so much plugged in that they knew what the star in the sky meant. They came looking for the Messiah, came to worship him. And yet you see there were others, obviously Herod, who had a wicked heart, a wicked king. But then the people in Jerusalem, they were troubled when the wise men came. But after they learned about the fact that they were looking for the Messiah, not a single person, does Scripture indicate, followed them looking for the Messiah. And what a tragedy that is, because again, they've been looking for the Messiah for centuries. But many people, it seems, were not engaged to the point where, like the wise men, their heart was for God and they were running after God in a sense. So again, to one of the very important points you made, each of us needs to be walking with God, listening and prepared to follow his direction in order to really be where God wants us to be doing the things he'd have us to do, to have our priorities, kingdom priorities straight then. So, but you, Rodney, you were wanting to share with our listeners about ways each of us can really live extraordinary lives as followers of Christ. Would you share what's on your heart in relation to that?
Well, Joseph, I'm glad you brought up the wise men. And if you think about that, the people in that community really missed out. They here Jesus was born in their community, and they weren't even aware, weren't tuned in. And I think about the people I see Monday through Friday, and as a psychologist, they're coming in, they're in conflict, or they're wanting to have less anxiety or depression. But what I feel like God really calls us to is certainly not to have anxiety or depression, but to actually have a very large life. Mm-hmm. How can it not be large if God's in it? And I think of some of my favorite chapters for kind of guidelines for having an extraordinary life are like Psalms 37 or Philippians 4. You think about it, Philippians 4 has just got such radical sort of revolutionary statements. You know, be anxious for nothing, absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. Rejoice evermore, so never let your joy bucket go empty. And everything make requests. So stay constantly throughout the day in request to God and supplication. There's just incredible stuff if you think about what your life would be like if you let that fully blossom in your life. So I would encourage people to want to live big and expect big things because we have a very big God. And towards that, it'll be interesting, you know, what I feel like if you reach out to the Lord, he'll open doors for you as to where he wants to, whether that's just the person next door or someone thousands of miles away. Some of the organizations that I mentioned earlier, like Global Catalytic Ministries, they're very much involved in that 1040 window, or Appleseed Ministry, another organization that works through Africa or help the persecuted. I'm glad to support them, and they're very involved in Sudan and that problem. Mm-hmm. But mostly, it's like the Lord will open doors for you if you reach out and make that a request. Mm-hmm. And even a bigger request is, I want my life to count and to be as big as God wants it to be.
Amen. Amen. Share those ministry titles again.
Yeah, one was Global Catalytic Ministries. Okay. They're very much throughout the 1040 window. And they were initially very involved in Iran as well. They really expanded. We were in Afghanistan, been all sorts of extremely tough areas. Mm-hmm. And another one is Appleseed Ministries, which I support in Africa and help the persecuted. That's Joseph Yusuf. He's around a variety of areas, Northern Africa and Sudan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and you know, to your point there that as believers, we really should be prayerfully looking for opportunities to support the work that's reaching out in so many different places, especially areas where they, where the gospel hasn't been heard. Because the fact is, the ministries that are out there, but they need the prayer support and the financial support of others to help them do what they do. And so many times, how tragic it is when you have ministries that literally are poised to do great things, but sometimes don't get to do them because they don't have the support of churches, which in so many ways, in the truest sense of the word, are well able financially to support, but sometimes just don't choose to do it. So again, how important it is for us to be prayerfully seeking opportunities, not just thinking, well, I'll wait to see if somebody gets in touch with me. No, we should be looking for opportunities to help further the kingdom of God. That should be a part of our lifestyle, looking for opportunities to be the blessing God would have us to be as well. So, but any other encouragement along that line that you'd want to share?
Oh, I just wanted to echo for everyone. It's the sense of you. It's get in the game, get engaged. Lord will create opportunities for you to do that. But it's like, yeah, life with Christ is not something to be sort of passive and sit in the back chair in the back pew. It's bold and he's bold and big and bright and shiny. And it's like, let's be that with his help.
Right, right. You know, I find that Pete. In many circles, people don't like the word aggressive. But I think in the truest sense of the word, as believers, we're called to live a lifestyle of being aggressive for the kingdom of God. And also a whole other way to see it, too, is that I believe in the kingdom of God, we're called to be on offense all the time. That's our norm, and that's where we're to live and function. Being on offense, building the kingdom as a lifestyle, which also involves tearing the kingdom of darkness down. And so I think every believer is called to do that. Would you pray for the church to really grow in their understanding of the need to have that perspective, to think in terms of being aggressively working to run after the Lord basically as a lifestyle?
You bet. Dear Heavenly Father and dear Lord Jesus, please hear our call to tune our hearts to you, to open our hearts to you, open our hearts to how you'd like to use us in this life. open our appetite that we want more and want to be more and want to be in the game, want to have the excitement of you living through us. Pray you'll help us to remember every day to be dependent on you, that we can't do what you're requesting, which is to be kind and patient and humble and forgiving and loving if you're not doing it through us. And so we lean on you, help remind us throughout the day to lean on you and to ask for your direction and call. And I pray that you open the doors that people that are listening today will just be blessed and make a change today to find a life in you that just continues to grow and grow and blossom and be productive for the kingdom. And ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And Father, too, thank you for the fact that you've called us as your church to be your hands and feet in a world that desperately needs to be saved, and a world that needs to be touched by your love, your compassion, and your concern. Lord, help us to know, Lord, that there's so many hurting people all over the world. Some of them live on the other side of the world. And sometimes some of them live next door. Help us to be a people that are compassionately looking for opportunities to be used by you, and help us to be wide open to being used by you. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being your vessels through which you can show the world what your love looks like. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Rodney, would you take a moment also to pray specifically for families, that, you know, the family unit is a wonderful discipleship tool that the Lord can use to help do discipleship, but also to touch the world with the gospel. So would you just pray for families at this time?
Dear Lord, Christmas time brings up so many issues and longings and pain points, as well as hopes and joys for all of us. And often as we meet with family members, there's both good tidings and also some old hurts. Sometimes they haven't been resolved and may not give resolve. I pray you would just bless each of us. You quiet our hearts through Christmas season, be attentive to you, and also just to remember to rejoice evermore so that we enjoy our contact with people and relationships with family members, and also looking for that opportunity and help us alert our hearts and minds to the opportunity to share you and what you're doing in our lives and our wish for them to know you as their Lord and Savior. And I know you'll help them do that, and thank you for the opportunity to ask you for it. In your name, Jesus.
Amen. And Father, too, thank you for every family represented that's listening as well. Anoint them afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship, and help them to be about the work of evangelism and discipleship within their family and beyond their family as well, and help them to know the joy that comes from being involved in your work. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Rodney, thank you so much for being with us today. And would you share one more time the names of those two particular ministries so people can maybe jot them down and just kind of find out more about them?
Sure. Global Catalytic Ministries. You might find it as GCM. Mike Pitino is the CEO there. And then Appleseed Ministries in Africa. Also, Help the Persecuted is another group I use to support in North Africa and Sudan particularly.
All righty. Thank you again for sharing those. And thank you for sharing just your insight and your heart and your wisdom on the need for the church to be, you know, moving in that direction as well. Thank you for your time today, Rodney. Thanks for being with us, all right?
You bet. Thanks, Joseph.
Okay. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. We always want to invite you to make that step, because remember, in all of life, the single most important decision is that decision of asking Him to come in to become your Lord and Savior. If you'd like to make that step, would you from your heart simply pray this prayer now and give your life to Christ and receive Him as your Lord and Savior? Would you pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from the wrong I've done. I'm sorry for all those wrong things. Forgive me for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read the Bible daily. Help me to seek you in prayer daily. Help me to obey and follow you daily. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we're wanting to connect with you. Again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord, into a vibrant walk with the Lord. Please get in touch again, joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get a copy from the AFA stand, the article from the AFA stand that we shared earlier, the title of the article, Jesus, the Answer to Everything, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.